Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and T's Real Talk. We got a real good one tonight, man. We got a two-night in review. I got, we're going to talk about some other things that came out last week. But first, as always, we got to introduce my calls. What's up, Keys? How's it going, bro?
Yeah, I'm chilling, man. I'm good. Let's get into it.
All right, man. UFC 290 was this weekend. Great card. Surprising. So definitely some surprising outcomes. But let's just start with the main event, man. Once again, Volkanovski puts on a clinic on why he's definitely should be considered pound for pound the best fighter in UFC. Were you impressed by Yair? Or how can I ask this? I know we both was impressed by Volkanovski's performance.
Yeah.
How impressed were you by Volkanovski's performance?
I was impressed with both guys, and how impressed I was probably Volkanovski. I mean, I expected him to be great. You know, I expected him to win, of course, and you know, I thought, you know, one thing I did think, and I think I was partially wrong on this, was that Yair Rodriguez didn't bring anything to the table that Volkanovski hadn't seen before. And I was wrong about that, in my opinion, because one thing that I – how impressed was I with Volkanovski? I mean, based on the fact that I expected him to be great and win by any means necessary, however it went, which he did, I probably put – like a 7 out of 10. I mean, that's because my expectations were high. You know, I knew he would have a great performance. You know what I'm saying? And I knew he would have a great performance. And I think I was wrong about, you know, me saying Yair didn't bring anything that he hadn't seen before, because I saw Volkanovski struggling with Yair striking, man. That's what I saw. I thought Yair was throwing some stuff at him that he, I don't know how to put it, if it was not what he expected or it was like too unorthodox. I don't really know. Or maybe Yair was just kind of like really mixing it up and kind of, I mean, he was throwing ninja shit. Like Yair Rodriguez was, Yair Rodriguez was doing spinning ninja shit, bro. Like that's, he was doing stuff that makes people a fan. Like he was doing, you know, some different shit. Like, you know, some of the kicks he was throwing and he was landing, or he was at least close. I mean, I think Yair was looking better in the striking department out of the two guys. I just think that I also was, you know, Volkanovski made adjustments and he leaned on wrestling. You know, that's pretty much what happened. You know, Volkanovski leaned into his wrestling. And, you know, that goes back to, you know, what Evan was saying. Evan was, you know, me and him went back and forth before the Islam fight. And Evan was like, yo, Volkanovski is getting better at, you know, he's working on his ground game and sharpening up his wrestling behind the scenes. You know, Evan said, you know, even though we haven't seen it in the cage, doesn't mean that he's not drilling wrestling and that he's not getting better in those areas. And I didn't believe that at the time, until I saw the way he looked for his Islam, and I was like, oh my goodness, this guy is like, actually looks really good here. Like this, I didn't think we would see this. And then in that fight, he pretty much showed his wrestling even more. And that was definitely a surprise to me. I thought we would just see those two guys just going at it on the feet. I didn't think the fight would take that turn, but it did. And, you know, Volkanovski definitely added another big notch to his belt. And, Yair Rodriguez proved that, you know, he's at the top of the mountain in that division. His striking is difficult to figure out.
I would say I would probably give it a 7-2 because I expected him to win, you know, but I think the thing that I knew it was over when Yair was touching him up, but Volkanovski just started walking through his strikes. He just started walking through his strikes, and then basically once he started walking through his strikes, it was like, Yair, what else do you have? You know? And then Volkanovski was the one that 7 minutes of ground control, 7 out of 12 takedowns. I didn't see that coming. I thought that would have been something more of the lines of what Yair Rodriguez would have tried to do to throw Volkanovski off. But once he started walking through his punches, man, it was just like, I was like, damn, Yair, I think you about to get done up. And lo and behold, third round, he got done up. Yair fought with a lot of heart, man. But something is missing from his game, Keith. I can't quite put my finger on it, what's missing from his game, because I'm looking at these stats. Volkanovski landed 149 out of 198 total strikes. Yair Rodriguez landed 57 out of 103 total strikes. Um, 14 leg kicks for Volkanovski, 16 for Yair, 11 body shots for Yair, 4 for Volkanovski, 48 shots to the head by Volkanovski compared to 13 for Yair, significant strike 66 to 40 in favor of Volkanovski, ground control 7 minutes to 0, 7 takedowns to 0. Something is missing out of Yair's game, Keys. He can't win in a stand-up fight against guys that have superior striking, i.e. Tony Ferguson. I mean, i.e. Max Holloway, i.e. Volkanovski. Those are two guys that you can't stand up and bang with. You got to come up with different ways to throw them off and make them think in the cage. Yair fought with a lot of heart, but, you know, man, he needs to add something to his game. Volkanovski, man, that dude is a beast, dog. I mean, you know, shouts out to Evan, man, because me and you, we thought Evan was talking crazy when he was talking about how good Volkanovski was. I was like, man, nah, that dude, man, nah, he all hype, dog. Then he beat our boy Max. Okay. Second fight, I kind of thought Max won, but the third fight, you know, it was one way. So, man, Volkanovski is a beast, but I don't want to see him fight the winner of Oliveira and Islam. I want to see him fight Topuria. Beat Topuria, and then you can say you cleaned out the division, and then you can move up. I don't want it to look like he's running for Topuria, man. Right now, you know, he did say Topuria wasn't, you know, was a little fish or whatever after the fight, but go ahead and put that little fish in his place. Go ahead and then go up and fight the winner of Islam and Oliveira. I think Dana White will hold that fight for you. So what do you think is next for Volkanovski, bro?
I actually want to see the same. I want to see it go the same way. I'd like to see the Topuria fight next for him. You know, one is I heard that Islam is supposed to fight at Abu Dhabi in October. You know, that's what all the rumors are saying, that he's supposed to main event that card, you know, but doesn't have an opponent. I heard Oliveira can't fight until, like, December. So that wouldn't meet that date. So I don't think we're going to see Islam and Oliveira this year. I'm not really sure we're going to see it, because unless they can get it on that December card, which I haven't heard anything about that happening, you know, then I don't think we see it this year, because Oliveira is going to be out. And Volkanovski is going to be out too. But I did see that they're saying 6 to 8 weeks for the surgery he needs. So that's not too bad. I mean, I think we could see Volkanovski fight again this year. I was thinking at first that it wouldn't be this year, and we'd probably see it, you know, probably quarter one, 2024. That's what I figured would be, you know, that time frame. But if it's 6 to 8 weeks, he might be able to get in there. I don't think he'd get in there for the Islam. I don't think that he would meet that time frame. I think that'd be a little too soon to get a camp in. But I do think we could see Volkanovski in Teporia November, December. I think that's doable, and that's what I'd like to see happen. They could end up being Q1, but I think it's doable, and that's what I'd like to see. And that's what I think we will see, because Islam, I don't know that he'll want to. I just don't see that one happening immediately next. Islam, I could see Islam fighting somebody else, man. I think it might end up being one of these other guys. Honestly, what I think is going to happen is this. It's either going to be one of these two things. I think Islam's next opponent, whether we like it or not, is either going to be Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, or Michael Chandler. I think it's going to be one of those three guys, because there's no sign of – Michael Chandler's been tweeting, and he's been saying some – you know, he's been putting out some pretty cryptic tweets that, you know, you might think something of. Maybe there's something being announced, but it doesn't seem like him and Conor McGregor's fight is, you know, is getting put together, at least not right now. I don't see anything about that or hear anything, you know, and Conor's not in the testing pool, so I'm not even sure he could fight this year. So I don't really think that's going to be the fight, at least not next. So I think the most likely is that we're going to end up getting the winner of Dustin and Justin versus Islam in October. That's what I think is going to happen. Because if you really look at it, it's like, okay, those two guys are going to fight in a couple weeks. They're fighting the top off in July on the same night as your boy Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence Jr. So those two cards are happening July 29th, which is pretty crazy. On the sports, the fighting, the combat sports world is going to be having a lot to lot going on. July 29th is the big night, you know, for boxing and MMA. And I think the winner of that one will get the Islam fight. I think and that's not to say that I think, like, those are the most deserving guys. I just think that that's the most realistic option. If Islam is going to fight in October and they want him to have an opponent before the year is out, that's really the best option. There's really not other guys. You know, I don't think there's anybody else there unless you want to have, you know, Armin Saryukin fight him, which I think he's a little bit too far down in the rankings. I don't know if that's in the cards just yet, but he could be there soon. I think really it's just Poirier and Gaethje that are right there. And then who knows, maybe even Michael Chandler. But the problem with Chandler is he's not really coming off anything. I don't know what his last fight was, Chandler. I want to say Tony. No, Poirier. He's coming off a loss, but he's not even. Yeah, Chandler's coming off getting choked out, but he's not. I don't see them doing that. I think it'll be the winner of those two guys, though. That's what I see. Volkanovski and Teporia, and, you know, Poirier Gaethje versus Islam.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to lean this way, Keys. I think Dana might give Volkanovski the shot, bro. I think if he's not happy with the winner of Poirier and Gaethje, then he might just wait. I mean, but he can't wait because old boy said he wants to fight an Abu Dhabi. So, I don't know what they do, man, because we know Conor ain't fighting in 2023 because he's not in the testing pool. Would they get a fight to Chandler? I would say maybe. But do we really want to see Islam fight Poirier or Gaethje when we've seen what both of them did against how both of them looked against Khabib? They both look overmatched going against that style of fighter. So I wouldn't be mad about Chandler, bro, to be honest. You know, one thing we do know is he is going to give you a good first round. Now, everything after the first round is up in the air. But we'll see what happens down the road. But let's go to the co-main event. We have Brandon Moreno lose the flyweight title to Alexander Pantoja in the split decision. One judge had it 49-46. One judge had it 48-47. Another judge had it 48-47. Now, Keys, I must say, I am a Brandon Moreno fan. I thought he won this fight. I think they put way too much emphasis in the takedowns in this one fight, in this particular fight. Yes, Pantoja took him down 6 times. Brandon took him down 2 times. The control time was 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes, and Pantoja took 4 minutes for Brandon Moreno. If you watch that fight, the eye test tell you in that fight that Brandon Moreno was the better fighter to me in that on that night. Total strikes 167-161. Significant strikes, Brandon Moreno 147. Alexander Pantoja 129. Shots to the head 133 for Moreno, 106 for Pantoja. Leg kicks 20 Pantoja, Brandon Moreno 13. Leg kicks 3-4 Pantoja, 1-4 Moreno. So I thought Brandon Moreno should be as still. I could be wrong, but you know, everybody watched fights differently. So what's your take on that fight, bro?
My take is that it's really not much. I wasn't like live judging the rounds or anything. I didn't really watch them that way, but so I couldn't tell you how I had the rounds, but I definitely will say that I thought at the end of the fight that it could have went either way. Honestly, I think, I figured it was going to be razor thin, and I want to say it was a split decision for Ben Toha. The one judge, I think one of the three judges had Moreno winning, and you know, that's pretty much as close as it gets besides a draw. I mean, I want to say if he changed the round, if he had one round different, you know, that's one round, you know, more from Moreno, he's still the champ. I'm pretty sure that's what it came down to. It was a 2 seconds. I'm pretty sure that's what it came down to was, you know, the difference of one judge, but also one round. I'm pretty sure I think it was. Because I want to say the one that judged it from Moreno had him 4-1. It was a 49-46. And then, so that one had, so that's 4 rounds to 1 from Moreno, which I can, I will say this, the first 3 rounds was where I was really judging it. Those ones, I do remember saying at one point, I wasn't really live scoring the fight like that. I was kind of just watching it, but I will say that at the end of round 3, I was with a group of people and they had asked me like who I had in the rounds, and going into round four. And I want to say that going into round 4, I had somebody up 2-1. I want to say, I don't know, I had somebody up 2-1 after. So at the end of it, somebody had to have won 3-2. You know, I think it was a really close fight. I thought either guy could have won. And I will say this is that, first of all, shout out to UFC 290 because your boy Keys made a good chunk of cash betting on that card. I will say that. You know, I had two parlays there, and I had one straight bet there, one straight money line bet. But yeah, I did. We knocked it out of the park for UFC 290. I'll say that. And shout out to that card because, you know, we definitely. There was a lot of upsets there. You know, that it was surprising. I mean, Whitaker, Jalen Turner. How about Blonde Hooker, bro? Come on, man. Stop. Yo, we can no longer laugh when I say it's Blonde, Oliveira, or Duval, Volkanovski. Like, Are you a believer now, or am I still just joking?
I'm starting to come around, but I'm still not a Hooker fan, so you can use it with everybody else except him.
But, well, okay, so, but did it, it so does, okay, so does his performance, and being that his hair was blonde, and it was blonde, like, does that line up with what I say?
Yes, it does.
So I don't need to say it. I won't call him Blonde Hooker, but I will say, because that actually kind of sounds a little bit weird, too, not going to lie. But, yeah, that sounds weird.
Like
Blonde Hooker? What? Yeah, that's Blonde
like
Hooker. That's kind of weird. So, yeah, so it's, yeah, so what it is that pretty much is an interesting thing, because I don't think many of us thought that Jalen Turner was going to lose that fight. But once I saw that Dan Hooker had dyed his hair, I started to second guess it. I did. I was like, I don't know. Like this, I think we're going to see a fight here. And Dan Hooker was rocking forward like a zombie, bro.
Yeah, I was kind of worried when Jalen missed weight. When he missed weight, I was like, man, that's not a good look. But, you know, man, congrats to Hooker, you know. Good performance. I still don't like the guy. It'll take a while for me to come around to him. But hey, he got the fight. Hey, he gets the fight and live in the UFC for one more fight. You know. But Keith, I gotta ask this, man. Speaking of Brandon Moreno, we both fans of Brandon Moreno. Do you think he needs to take some time off?
So I think Moreno needs to take some time off. I mean, I would have to look at it and see. Like, I'm not really sure of how – I want to say he's been fighting pretty often, and he did just fight Figueiredo 4 times in a row. Or was there one fight in between? It was something like that. I know he might have fought – yeah, he fought Kaikara France within that quadrilogy. He fought Kaikara France, and that was the only other fight that he took, if my memory is correct. But, yeah, he did. He fought Figueiredo in 4. The second one, he pretty much rolled Figueiredo, so I'm not going to say that was really competitive. I didn't think it was competitive at all, that second fight. Moreno just completely rolled him. He was beating him up in the striking the whole time, and then when it went to the mat, he pretty much submitted him quickly after that. And that was really it in the second fight. But besides that, I mean, third, I did not see – I think I watched the fourth fight, and I don't really remember scoring the rounds. The third fight I didn't see, and I watched the first fight. So overall, regardless of which ones I watched, he still fought for Figueiredo 4 times and fought Kaikara France, and those are all tough fights. And, you know, two, three of the best flyweights out there, so – maybe. I mean, I don't know if I would say it's because of his performance. I mean, maybe just because of, like, strength of schedule, and he's been fighting frequently, you know, pretty much, you know, he's been fighting almost back-to-back, I feel like. He's been pretty active these last couple of years and since he first fought for the belt. So, I mean, I think it couldn't hurt, you know. I don't have any, like, big criticism or, like, what I think he should – get into. I mean, I think maybe he could probably, you know, get more into wrestling and, like, add some more notches to his game. I think that could probably be helpful. I mean, that's helpful for all of these guys. A lot of these guys, you know, lean towards their striking, but, you know, I just think overall, just taking some time off to just rest and, you know, heal the body. He's been in some really tough fights, you know, his last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fights. You know, I feel like he's been fighting all killers and having long fights too. He's going 3, 4, 5 rounds with these guys, you know, having a lot of 25-minute fights with Figueiredo. Like, he's put a lot of wear and tear in his body. So I think overall, I think he should, and more for the fact of just resting the body and healing the body and actually taking that time, you know, to restore yourself and get back. He's been in wars, bro.
Yeah, I'm looking at I got his schedule up. Four, three times in 2019, three times in 2020, twice, once in 2021, twice in 2022, and twice in 2023. I'm going to lean towards he needs to let his body heal, Keys. I think, you know, we like our fighters to be active, you know, especially our champions. But there comes a time when you got to let your body recharge. I think this is the perfect time for him to let his body recharge, probably let Pantoja defend the belt against somebody else, and then come back maybe the first quarter of 2024, you know, to have your rematch, you know, have a rubber match, I should say. Well, actually, he's 0-2 against Pantoja. He lost to him in 2018 by unanimous decision, and then he just lost to him again in split decision. But he's definitely been active. So if I was advising him, Brandon, take some time off. Go be with your family. Let your battery recharge. Let your body heal up. You know, relax a little bit. And then, you know, we'll get together in about 4 weeks, 6 weeks, see where your body at, see how you feeling, see what the UFC thinking, and then we'll go from there. But, yeah, man, you know, he's been a warrior in there, like you said. He's fought a lot of rounds. Pantoja, 5 rounds. Figueredo, 3 rounds. Carr France, 3 rounds. Figueredo, 5 rounds. Figueredo, 3 rounds. Figueredo, 5 rounds. Brandon Roval knocked him out in the first round. Formiga, 3 rounds. Kakar France again, 3 rounds. Askarov draw, 3 rounds. Then he had another 4 rounds. So it was like, bro, take a little bit of time off. Let your body heal. Let your mind heal. And then come back better than ever. That's how I would advise him. If you know, if I was on his team. All right, Keys. I don't even want to talk about this, but, you know, being that in the ballpark of what we talk about, we got Tyson Fury versus Francis Ngannou, boxing rules match happening, I want to say October 8th. October 28th. What's your thoughts, man?
Francis Ngannou and Tyson Fury. Well, I'll say this. I feel like, did I just, like, make a statement, which is the way I said that? I feel like I had a tone. So there was a tone in the way I just said that. that kind of just made a statement on its own right there.
Yeah,
basically. So Ngannou and Fury, man. Oh, my God. So first, I'll say that I was wrong. I mean, what I initially said, I still think that he, I mean, it, depending on what he wanted to do, I mean, to put it simply, most of what the majority of us were saying or what I was seeing and what I had said, we were wrong. He went there and he got, you know, I believe most of his terms from the PFL, regardless of, you know, what happens. And then now he pretty much has the one fight or one of the biggest fights in boxing. I mean, he pretty much went out and, you know, I'm sure he'll make more money for that fight than he would have fighting John Jones or, you know, any MMA fight that he would do. I'm sure they'll make a ton of money. So yeah, Francis Ngannou won in terms of, you know, the whole situation. He got everything he wanted and he held out and, you know, took his time and he just locked in probably the biggest fight in boxing. And good for him. You know what I mean? I was wrong in my observations of it, but again, they're my observations of it, and that's how I felt. And really, it's just congratulations to Francis. In terms of the fight, I don't particularly care about the fight much. Like, I'm not really. I mean, I do hold down my statement of that I don't really think Francis is the star that he thinks he is. Like, that is one point that I've been making during this time that I do stand on. I don't think he's the star that Twitter is trying to make him seem like. I mean, the numbers don't really show that he's the star that people are claiming he is. You know, a lot of the people that say that he is the star are also streaming the pay-per-views. So, you know, you're not even really contributing to those numbers that he doesn't really do. So he's not as big as he thinks he is, but I do think he got what he set out for. So he deserves props for that. That and Fury is kind of, you know, Fury's going to roll him. And it's going to be a very lopsided contest, very, very lopsided. I don't think it has it's definitely not the level of what Maymack was. You know, Mayweather-McGregor is definitely not that because, I mean, Tyson Fury, you know, he's not really, like, he's a guy that people are talking about, but I don't know if I could say he's the biggest name in boxing. Like, I don't think it's a Mayweather situation, you know, where it's like everyone's watching the Mayweather fight, you know. Like, Fury does, you know, some pay-per-view buys, but I don't really think he's that big of a star either, to be honest. I mean, I'm pretty sure I read him and Wilder 3 did, like, 400K buys. Like, you know, Tyson Fury, like, Oliveira is doing, like, 400,000 or 500,000. Like, realistically, Oliveira is and Oliveira is a star. But Oliveira is a bigger star than Tyson Fury. You know what I mean? Like, Oliveira is a star to me. I think he's a star. But there's bigger stars than Oliveira. But then again, like, people look at boxing, they think it's so much bigger. Like, Tyson Fury is not doing bigger numbers than Charles Oliveira. So it's like, he's really not that big in the grand scheme of things. You know, Mayweather was the biggest. Like, there was really no one near that level that he was at. You know, and I'm not saying in terms of skill. I'm saying in terms of the viewership and in the public interest. There was nobody even close to that. You know, his numbers are just set by themselves, you know. Him and McGregor pretty much have the biggest numbers, you know, between the two sports. So that's why that fight was like that. But Tyson Fury and Ngannou, neither one of those guys are near either of those two guys in, as far as the star power. Would you agree with that or you disagree with that?
I agree. But, Keith, this boils down to one thing for me. When have we seen a professional MMA fighter step into the boxing ring and be a professional boxer? Where have we seen that? I don't recall a time we've seen that. And there's a reason for that. MMA striking and boxing striking is two different styles of striking. They are two different types of mano-a-mano combat. I don't see Francis. He might come out and Steve and you know, Tyson Fury, you might come out and carry him for a couple rounds. But I'm not buying this fight. I might watch it if somebody get it, but I'm not buying it. I have no interest in this fight because I know how it's going to turn out. Boxers fighting MMA guys in boxing is just like boxing guys coming into the UFC and fighting a UFC guy. That UFC guy is going to knee them, kick them, you know, do all types of crazy body slam them, all types of crazy stuff that they don't, that, you know, that's illegal in boxing. Man, this here, man, I get it, Francis, that you want to take control of your career, put all your eggs in your own basket. But I think after you fight Tyson Fury, you're going to, behind closed door, try to get out of your contract with PFL, come back to UFC, and try to fight John Jones. I see Francis back in the UFC in 2024. That's just my early prediction, and I see him getting dusted in this Tyson Fury fight. I just don't see it happening, bro. All right, Keys. We got to talk about it, man. It hurts me to talk about this. Duplessis finishes Robert Whittaker. Definitely broke my heart the outcome of this fight. But at the same time, I guess we got to put some respect on Duplessis' name.
I'm gonna say this.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna just be real about it. Whittaker losing didn't hit me the same way that it would have if I wasn't betting that card, because I had two parlays and I had the top four fights after Bo Nickel, including that fight. I had one parlay with the four favorites and then the other four with the four underdogs. So you know what happened with me was we went up 2-0 after the Bo Nickel and then those two. So Jalen Turner and Whittaker both losing had me up 2-0. Is what happened on one of the parlays. So the first one lost when Jalen Turner lost, and then the other one went up 2-0 and eventually 3-0, but I cashed it after the second leg because, you know, that fight, which I'm glad I did, because Pantoa and Moreno, I believe, could have went either way. You know, if they said Moreno won the fight, I would have said that's fine. I mean, they said Pantoa won the fight, I'm pretty much like, that's fine. Like, I thought either guy, you know, could have done enough to win that. It was a very, very competitive fight. But, it didn't hit me the same way because I went up 2-0 and cashed out my parlay for a 10x gain. So when Whittaker lost, I was like, fuck, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I was loving life because I had just went up 2-0 on the parlay and then I just cashed it. So I was happy about that at the same time that I was like, damn, bro, like, Whittaker just got rolled like that? Like, that was tough, you know? And I didn't – so – I guess what it comes down to is, you know, part of what you were just saying, well, basically what you were just saying is that we got to give credit to Duplessis, man. He obviously, he really hadn't fought, he hadn't fought the top of the division before that. Like, this was really this is his biggest win by miles. Like, he didn't even have, like, Derek Brunson and Darren Till. You know, his last two fights before that, those are the best guys he fought was Von Brunson. It's like, bro, Von Brunson is like 40, 41 years old. You know what I mean? Like, he is literally, like, went on a run and then got KO'd by Cannonier, I'm pretty sure. And then, you know, only had just recently got back in because he had retired and then came back. I'm pretty sure he retired and then unretired. But, yeah, I mean, I guess we got to give Duplessis credit. He's better. Obviously, he has to be better than we thought he were if he was able to beat Whittaker. I mean, Whittaker said he was the most dangerous. The most dangerous middleweight. I think that's a fact. And, you know, Whittaker is the most dangerous middleweight. I mean, people will probably try to say Alex Pereira, but I mean, he fought two fights at middleweight and is now fighting a light heavyweight. And really, overall, Pereira has power, but I don't know if that makes him the most dangerous. I mean, he could have the most knockout power, but who's doing the most damage? Like, who's beating you everywhere? Like, that's Whittaker. You know what I mean? Pereira, especially after losing the second fight to Adesanya, it's like he has really one and one at middleweight. Like, how dangerous can he possibly be? I mean, he can knock out almost anybody. That's probably true, but I don't know if I could get down with Pereira being – Whittaker is the most dangerous middleweight. And clearly, Duplessis is better than we thought he was if he was able to beat Whittaker. So, I don't know. I definitely want to see Whittaker get back in before the year is out, though. And when I looked at the statement he made after the fight, it sounds like that's what he wants to do. He said he wants to close out the year on a win. So, I'd love to see him take some time and come back. You know, I think let's see one more before the year is out, for sure. I like to see Whittaker get back in there.
I just don't know who they match him up against.
And maybe actually, you know what? Let me finish it on this point, because this is what I was just thinking about. And feel free to say this is a bad idea. Depending on the date, of course. I mean, let's see what the date is. But I was thinking you could have, depending on how, I don't know how, I mean, what he lose, that TKO? So, like, they might have a medical suspension. I don't know what the time frame is going to be looking like, or if he, you know, if he picked up any injuries during camp or in the fight. So I don't know what the status is. But depending on the date of the Australia, or is it, yeah, I think it's, the Sydney, yeah, the UFC Sydney, whenever that goes down, in a perfect world, I would like to see Whittaker in the co-main event of that, do Adesanya versus Duplessis in the main event, and do Whittaker versus whoever he's going to fight in the co-main event. That's what I would like to see, depending on if it works out. And like I said, in a perfect world.
All right, I'm trying to check on that card right now, because I know... Yeah, Sydney, Australia. That is September the 9th. So that is almost 2 months away. Because I know in the post-fight show, they were saying that, you know, if Dana White came to Duplessis and I asked him, you know, would he be ready to fight September the 9th in Australia? And, you know, some people on the front desk were saying he should take it. Some were saying he shouldn't, that, you know, that this might be his only shot at the belt, and, you know, that he wants to go in there at full strength or whatever. And then Michael Bisping said, hey, this fight is September the 9th. This gives him plenty of time to do a camp and everything. So, I think he is going to fight Izzy September 9th in Sydney. And Robert Whittaker said he wants to fight before the end of 2023. But Robert is another guy that's been super busy here lately, Keys. He has been a busy guy here lately. And, you know, at first we start always rag on him as far as, sometimes, you know, fight week he'll get injured or sick or something like that and have to pull out of fights. But we haven't said that about him in a long time. So, I don't know, man. I think I would rather have him sit down, man. You know, work on some things. Let's see. He really hasn't been that busy. I take that back. February 12th, 2022, September 3rd, 2022, July 8th, 2023. So basically he almost had a year off, it seemed like. Yeah, almost 10 months. July, August, yeah, 10 months off since he beat Marvin Vettori. So I guess that's why he wants to fight again before the end of 2023. But like you said, sometimes you got to look at who guys fought. This guy has fought Yoel Romero, Israel Adesanya, Darren Till, Jaron Cannonier, Kevin Gastelum, Israel Adesanya, Vettori, and Duplessis. Those are his, like, last 9 fights. His last 9 fights. And that ain't even counting Jacare Souza, Derek Brunson, Uriah Hall, Brad Tavares. So this guy has been fighting the best of the best. So get back in there, Rob, man. Get back in there for the end of the year, man. Fight on that end of the year card. Me and Keys love to see you perform. I know this was a bad, a bad outing for you. But get back on the horse, bro. Get back on your winning ways. Fight in that last card of December. And, you know, we waiting on you to get back. waiting on you to get back. Keith, we got to talk about this, man. It was announced last week that we're going to have Battle of the Goats, man. We got the GOAT light heavyweight taking on the GOAT of the heavyweight. What's your early thoughts on this fight, man? John Jones taking on Stipe in Madison Square Garden. Your early thoughts of it, bro?
Coming in with quick move. John's about to roll him. He's about to roll him, bro.
What?
I'm telling y'all. John Jones about to roll him. Stipe, they're setting Stipe up, bro. He's getting set up. John Jones about to roll him, bro. That's my early thoughts. He's been. All right, let me just represent this. Stipe has not fought in almost 3 years. By the time they fight, it'll be nearly three. No, it'll be 3 years. Yeah, because he would have had. Because it was 2021. He had the Ngannou rematch, was his last fight. He got knocked out by Ngannou. I think that was in round two, I want to say. And when was that? That was like April. I think that was April of 2021, bro. I think it was either April or May. I want to say April of 2021. And now you're going now to basically a little more than 2.5 years later on the bench, 2.5 years of ring rust, all the way to November of 2023, bro. That's 2 years and 7 months of ring rust going into fighting the best fighter ever at Madison Square Garden. That sounds like Stipe is getting set up, bro. He's getting set up to be assassinated.
But you know what, Keys? I'm looking at this.
Bro, look at this. John Jones just rolled Ciryl Gane like he's never been rolled and probably will ever be in his career. He got rolled like a backwood in 2011, bro. I was outside BCM. You know, we were picking up joint papers to go roll a couple of joints, you know, after school. That was Ciryl Gane, bro. He was literally a 1.5 easy wider. You know what I'm saying? He was those 1.5s we used to buy after school. On like a Tuesday, you know, a random Tuesday, we were just lit up after school, you know. 1.5 easy water was the go-to. That was Ciryl Gane. Ciryl Gane was a swisher sweet, bro. And John Jones just absolutely ran through him like he was a nobody, like he was an amateur. And now Stipe is going to fight him 2 years, 7 months after his last fight. And he got knocked out. It's not even like he won on the last fight. He's coming off getting KO'd. Bro, I think they're setting Stipe up, bro. They're setting him up. I hate to see it.
Man,
I love the fight, but it's a setup.
I'm sitting here looking at Stipe, right? He fought one time in 2019, one time in 2020. One time in 2021 was his last fight. Bro. If he isn't amped up and prepared for this fight, he will get embarrassed by John Jones. I think we're going to see a reinvigorated Stipe in this fight. But at the same time, John was coming off 3 years, I think almost 3 years off, or more than 3 years off, when he fought Ciryl Gane. And he looked out of shape, but he did dominate him. Do I expect him to look out of shape against Stipe? No. I think he's going to come in a lot lighter. I think he's going to come in probably around maybe about 225, maybe 220 in the fight against Stipe. And I think we're going to see – I want it to be a classic fight, Keys. but I'm leaning your way. If Stipe doesn't come in with the right mindset and the right energy, he's going to get thoroughly embarrassed in that octagon by John Jones. So I'm hoping that we get the best Stipe we ever seen. But do I think the best Stipe we ever seen could beat John Jones? And to that question, I will have to say no. I just think John Jones is a better fighter. I think John Jones has more weapons. And I think John is going to come in style. I think he's going to come in shape. His last fight, he weighed 248. I don't think he can come in a fight against Stipe at that weight. I think he needs to be leaner and meaner in this fight. But I hope what you're saying doesn't happen. But as a John Jones fan, you know, that'll definitely make his get him the bigger horns out of the two. So, you know, we shall see, bro. But I have one more question. Hold on. Let me pull it up. It really wasn't a question. It's a statement. Keith, looking back at UFC 290, looking back at basically this year of 2023 as far as the UFC is concerned, do you think the product has gotten better, has remained the same, or has it fell off a little bit?
All right, so what's the timetable on it? You said since when?
Just 2023.
Oh, in 2023, has the product fallen off? I mean, it's really hard to say after watching UFC. It's hard for me to not say that the product's been great after watching UFC 290. That was, I mean, that's minimum a top five card I've ever watched. I'm not telling y'all, oh, top five cards ever, because then that becomes this whole, like, you know, statistics debate. I don't care about that. I'm saying top five that I personally watched, probably top three, probably top two best fight cards I've ever watched. That card was, even though there was heartbreakers on there, my boy Whitaker lost. That's one of my favorite, if not my favorite. I've just kind of gotten used to the pain after seeing, like, you know, my boy Stipe get KO'd in 2021, like Tony Ferguson get dominated by Charles Oliveira, also Tony get pieced up by Gaethje for, you know, four or five rounds, whatever it was. Like, seeing Woodley lose to Usman, like, I understand that, like, I've been in this position many times. So now seeing Whitaker lose, plus, you know, the circumstances that night, regardless of my guys losing on the card, that was one of the best, still one of the best cards, probably top two best cards I've ever watched. And it's hard to say the product's not great after watching that. And I do think that in comparison to what boxing is doing right now, I think it might seem like they're not really producing, but I do think they are, though. I think, you know, April we got – we're getting the big fights, you know, we're getting the fights we want, especially, I mean, we just got Volkanovski and Islam to kick off the year, which, and Volkanovski, you know, showed greatness there. That was, I mean, the main events are there. We're getting that. We got, you know, we got Leon and Usman 3, you know, we got the trilogy almost right away, you know, 7 months later, we got it. You know, we got the rematch between Pereira. We got to see Pereira and Izzy rematch. Tanya beats him. It's like we're getting to see the fights that are called for. You know what I'm saying? I feel like the UFC has delivered. You know, I think they pretty much delivered. I mean, we also got John. Not to mention, we were just speaking on it. We got John Jones at heavyweight. We got him versus Cyril Gane. Like, we're getting the fights that we want, I would say. There's still some this year that we want to see. We got Oliveira versus Darius finally. Oliveira snaps Darius's 12-fight unbeaten streak, or 11, 12, maybe 13, wherever it was. snaps his, knocks him out in the first round, just looks unbelievable, you know. The UFC's putting on the fights that we've wanted to see this year. So I can't – it's hard for me to say the product hasn't been great, to be honest. I think there are the cards in between. Like this weekend's card is Holly Holm versus Bueno Silva in the main event. It's really not a – there's almost nobody on that card. Like it's a very odd card. A lot of the people are coming off, you know, multiple-year layoffs. Like I was listening to – like there's many fighters on that card that are coming off multiple-year layoffs, you know. And it's cards like that where you see the oversaturation. But honestly, for the pay-per-views and, you know, many of these fight night cards that just kind of go under the radar, there's been some great fights, you know, great prelim fights. I think the product's been pretty great, man. I'd say it's at least been an 8 this year, at least an 8 out of 10.
I am going to say the UFC is definitely better. And I'm going to say it's better because of we see young stars emerging. You know, we see the younger people stepping up. Jamal Hill, champion. Leon Edwards, champion. Islam, champion. Alexa Grasso, champion. Wally Zhang, champion. You know, let me see. We got Alexander Pantoja just won. Aljamain. Bro, if you just look at the bantamweight division, Murad Divasavili, Sean O'Malley, Corey Sandhagen, Marlon Vera, Rob Font, Sung Yudun, Umar Nurmagomedov. All these guys are young. They're young. And the UFC has finally started pushing the young people. The old people are slowly fading out, and the young people are taking the bull by the horns and taking the sport to another level, man. And because of that reason, I think the sport is better because it's forcing us to take interest in new people, new fighters, new stars. We got to learn about Alexa Grasso. We got to learn about Manny Fierro. You know, we got to learn about Jamal Hill. So I like it. I like it because of the youth movement, bro. I know a couple years back, me and you was preaching new blood. It may have took a couple of years, but we are finally getting that new blood. There's another name I want to throw out there, Erin Blanchfield. You know, she's another girl that me and you saw fight. I was like, man, I think they got something to her. So, hey, as long as the youth movement and these guys keep getting better and they skill sets are more well-rounded, the UFC can only go up, bro. We had a great show tonight. We talked about a lot tonight. UFC 290 review. Talked about the news of, you know, Tyson Fury taking on Francis Ngannou October 28th in a boxing rules match. We talked about John Jones versus Stipe. I also asked Keys about Brandon Moreno, whether or not he needs to take some time off. We also gave our opinion on what should be next for Alexander Volkanovski. And we both agreed that the UFC is in a great place and the product is definitely better. It's definitely not stale. So that being said, Keys, any last words, bro?
Yeah, two things. One, I want to say, just to let y'all know and to tell you, Walt Harris just popped for a banned substance, so he just fell off this weekend's card. He was pretty much, you know, Walt Harris might have been low-key the biggest name on that card besides Holly Holm. I know, and Jack Della Maddalena just, he stayed out in Vegas, and now he just got a fight with somebody, so they just moved him. He was supposed to be on 290, now he's fighting on this weekend's card, so that's pretty cool. We'll get to see him. And then the third thing is that I'm also seeing, and I want to ask you how you feel about this before I close out. I'm hearing rumors of Ronda Rousey returning to the UFC in the 145 division, bro. How you feeling about that?
Oh, man, here we go again, bro.
What? There we go again.
But what did we see at Ronda Rousey the last couple fights she was in the UFC? We saw a person that refused to use her strength to win fights. We saw a person go in there thinking that she was good at something that she definitely wasn't good at. No. And then you're going to fight at 145 when all these years, Cyborg was at 145, and you said that Cyborg had to come down to 135? No. No. Stop it. Let's stop the madness right now. And moving on.
Wow, so that's a classic. That was a classic soundbite right there. I'm glad we got to have that moment. Glad I asked you about that. So, and shout out to Walt Harris, by the way. My boy's innocent. You know, I was reading that clip, and he was saying that the substance that they're saying is a banned substance. I don't know, like, if this is a tainted supplement situation, which happens, or what it is. But he was saying the thing that he was taking is something that he's been taking, or the thing he was, I don't know if it's the thing he was, the initial substance he was taking, whatever it was, is something he's been taking for his entire career. So that's an interesting situation. Shout out to our boy Walt Harris. My boy is innocent. And second point is, as I always say to close the show, life is short, love each other. And get your mental, you know, check on your mind. When your mental health is good, you can expand that into the other areas of your life, and you could do better in other areas of your life, and be there, be more present for other people in your life. And that's not to say you can't do it. You could do it both ways. You know, it doesn't. You could still be present, but it's just you could be an even better version of yourself if you're going to tend to your mind. You know what I mean? If you're not going to tend to it, you know, that's going to seep into those other areas of your life, you know, and you won't be the best version of yourself. But you can only be better the more you're checking in with your mind. So, yeah, you know, definitely stay up on mental health, and life is short. Love each other. Peace out.
Man, it's funny that you bring up Walt Harris. I interviewed Walt Harris for the scrap one time, and it was a great conversation, man. But I'm going to read you what his statement in full before we sign off. Walt Harris wrote on Twitter, "I believe this came from a supplement that I've trusted my entire career. But at the end of the day, it was never USADA approved," Harris wrote on Twitter. "I'm a complete idiot for not checking prior, but I'm definitely not a cheater." So, you know, you have to make sure that those things that you put in your body, you know, they've been approved by USADA and the doping folks, man. It doesn't matter if you've been using your whole career, you know. So, but Walt is a good guy. You know, he went through a tragedy a few years back, and he fought his way back. So hopefully he won't get a long suspension. But, you know, great show tonight. We appreciate everybody for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday. Same bat channel, same bat time. Hey, with that being said, everybody have a great, great weekend. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And as always, we'll end the show with a peace.